We thank thee, Lord.
We thank thee, Lord.
We thank thee, Jehovah Almighty. We thank thee, Lord. We thank thee, Lord. We thank thee,
Jehovah Almighty.
We thank thee. Thank you again. We can never thank you enough. All we can really give to you today is thanksgiving.
Yes,
Bible says the cattle upon a thousand is their mind.
Yes.
If our hunger would have asked you, the silver, the gold is mine, said the Lord. Render unto the Lord thanksgiving. And that's what we do here tonight and every day as it is in heaven. The children and the four elders, the cherubim and the seraphim, all of them say, holy, 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 the Lord God omnipotent reigns. We know pretty soon heaven and I will join together for an eternal chorus of praises. Lord, and coronation of the King of Kings, sir, and the Lord of Lords, sir. And we will come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, welcome, brethren. So, a long time ago, we went through the book of Daniel. I just felt that, let us do something like that, to the book of Revelation. And I will show you why tonight, we know there are old timers here and so forth that, who have been with this for so long in time. But every time we blend everything together, we bring to the ABC of it. Praise the Lord. So, and the word of God is ever new. So tonight, we just begin, the book of Revelation. And I put a lot of introductory notes to the young ones in the Lord especially, And we are going to go deep into it tonight. And we just go in there as the Lord leads in the days to come. Amen. Praise the Lord. There will be interjection. Maybe another brother has a message or something like that. We let it go as the Lord leads. Praise God. So tonight we just want to Google an introduction and so forth. So I put some notes here. The book of Revelation cannot be isolated from the rest of the Bible. It's a message. Or its message is deeply and separately rooted in the Old Testament prophecies, the same author, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, the book of Revelation introduces and originates little that is absolutely new, really. It's the same old God, the same Jehovah God of the Old Testament. It's the one who appeared to Brother John at the hour of Patmos, amen. Praise the Lord. It's the same one. And before the foundation of the world, he has finished all his work, amen. Praise God. So instead, the book of Revelation, takes the Old Testament prophecies, it unfolds them, it harmonizes them, and coordinates them into a grand chronological scheme, showing Christ's plan to take over the kingdoms of this world and set up the kingdom of God. Amen. In one place in there, I say the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That is the ultimate. Praise the Lord.
We get
rid of the usurper. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. First of all, for 1,000 years, lock him up in there and angel put him there at the bottom of the seat. Praise God.
Amen.
That the 1,000 years of peace and the Lord will show them how to rule. Amen.
Amen.
Joseph, being a type, went to Egypt. Bible says, never attended school as far as we know. He taught the senators wisdom. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
It's a type of Christ in so many things. So we see. So that's what the book of Revelation is doing. And so on. So now, why should the Christian be obligated to study the book of Revelation? All the books in the Bible are very, very important. But this book of Revelation is unique in a way. Amen?
Amen.
They are all the word of God. So why? So now let's begin from there. And see, why should the Christian a step of faith and really be serious and so forth and see what this book is all about. It's peculiar, it's unique. Now, the purpose of this study, of the book of Revelation, is not just to satisfy mere curiosity. Amen? They are not the intent in this series, like in Daniel series and so on. Not just mere curiosity. Rather, We want to alert ourselves to the hour we are living in. Amen?
Amen.
But alert ourselves to the hour we are living in, and to help us to a practical knowledge of events shortly to come to pass. Some of them which are already coming to pass. Amen? That is the whole purpose. Not just for mental, any kind of a thing, or mere curiosity. No. Alerting ourselves to the time we are living in. For right now, in this age we are living in right now, we live in a serious hour, brethren. Very, very serious hour. You know? An hour comparable to that just before the flood. Amen? That the Bible says, and the Bible says, it shall be like that at the end of time. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Amen? If it be that it's coming soon, better know that no, the things are just in that proportion and so forth. What we see today, people are engaged in a mad race for material benefits. And the pressures of a world, what kind of world we have now? A world that is dying. It's dying and they don't know it. Amen? It's a dying world really, until the Prince of Peace comes and bring life again. Praise the Lord. And why all this time, no, all this time, they don't even see it. The sword of impending judgment is hanging over the nation. The judgment, the like of which the world has never known. And when it is all done, nor will we ever see again. And those are even the words of the Lord, amen? By which there shall come a time of trouble, as has never been since the world began, and never shall be again, amen? Those are the very words of the Lord, for that, praise the Lord. And I want to say, why wake? Awaken ourselves, not to be in slumber, amen? Say, awake, thou that sleepest, amen? I want the dead, and Christ shall give you life, amen? We have to sharpen our understanding about, no, understanding what the will of the Lord is, amen? In the epistles, praise the Lord. It will be at our fingertips what be the will of the Lord, amen? And that's why we do this thing once in a while, remind ourselves, though we know these things and so forth. Now, the wise, we take advantage, you see, no, of this day of opportunity. As bad as it is, brethren, it is still the day of opportunity, amen? Yes. Compared to what is coming, praise the Lord. We have better wake up, all God's people and so on, take advantage of this day of opportunity, you know. Now, the precious hours, I call them, that have been allotted us, should be used to prepare ourselves to be true overcomers, amen? Let's take advantage of this hour, you know, and so for the last, you know, to be true overcomers, preparing ourselves by the word of the Lord, you know, to have oil in our lamps, or our vessels, that we may be ready as the white virgins to enter into the marriage supper of the Lord. We won't extend that to be like the super wise virgins, amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 10, there was a wise and a foolish. As a different group in there, amen? That didn't give the cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh, amen? He shouted to the wise, go ye out and meet him, amen? Who are those? We want to be among those groups too, amen? Not only just living for him, we want to be among to tell the world, behold, the bridegroom cometh, amen? That is even at the door, praise the Lord. We want to keep that shouting going. I've been going on for decades now, see? The long suffering of the Lord, the working patience and so forth in there, working salvation, praise God. We are living on borrowed time, the Gentile church, amen? See, because at any hour, and now we seek not, the Son of Man cometh, amen? Praise the Lord. That is the thing now, you know, you just find that way, you know, so that we be on our spiritual toes, praise God. Watching and looking and waiting for Him, praise Him in the name of the Lord. So we see that one. Now, beyond this, apart from all these things, that we may do our part in reaching the lost, amen? There are many, many ways to reach the lost in our days, amen? Diversified ways, you know, and so on, to reach the lost. While we are waiting and praying, you know, part of our obligation is to fulfill the great commission in whichever way the Lord leads individual, amen? That we may contribute our faith. You can do many things. Contribute our faith, our prayers, and our means to the fulfillment of the Great Commission and the evangelization of the world. Amen? Amen. That is the obligation and duty of the Christian in this last day. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can contribute any of these things and the Lord give you grace. No contribution is too small or too great. Amen? According to as God has given every man ability. Praise the Lord. Amen. In the parable of the talents, hey, some one, some two, some five. Amen? At the end of the day, you that have two and you are made four, you have, and you may say, they got the same commendation, amen? Yeah. The only one that is rebuked is the one who say, oh, you sow well, you don't reap, and so on. The Bible is calling a wicked servant, amen. We don't want to be like that. Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands on the deck. Praise God. Do all we can. As God gives us, you know, ability and so on. You know, evangelizing the word and so forth. You know, there are many ways. You can give tracts. You can give to people who are preaching the gospel. You're not called to go and evangelize. You're not called to be evangelists. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is something each of us can do. In fact, there's a global ministry that every Christian can participate in. That is the ministry of intercession. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Every Christian, whatever you are at, we can be part of that. Bless. And you know what? It's a great reward. Blessed be the name of the Lord. India, you are not looking for the human pride. Nobody even knows anything about you, amen. Only he that sets in the secret shall reward openly. Praise the Lord. I like that as one. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So let us get awake and so forth. Now, now when we do all these things now, you know, then when the Lord will come, and say, come up either, when by the grace of God, you know, we are doing all these things and so on, we shall live without regret and enter into the joy of the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, I put on note, it is extremely important that every Christian understands the meaning and significance of the prophecies of the book of Revelation. Very, very important. And I'm going to give some reasons here tonight. We'll go in there a little bit, but maybe a couple of verses. But this preface is very, very important. So whet our appetite afresh in this book. Amen. Very, very unique. And so on. I can say, ignorance of its message. If you don't understand this book and so on, cannot otherwise than affect adversely the believer's destiny. I say it again. The ignorance of its message, meaning the book of Revelation, cannot otherwise than affect adversely the believer's destiny, you know, and so forth, you know. Our place and position in the eternal ages to come will be determined to no little extent by how we give heed to its message. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. It is the crowning message of God to mankind and to the church in particular. Praise the Lord. So I want to put this emphasis here so that tonight, you know, once in a while, I will just go through the book of Revelation on my own. It's just so wonderful, amen. Praise, I just can't say all of us will do the same thing and so on. So having said that and so on, let's get in there, Revelation chapter 1. We are going to read many verses today because it's just an evening service and so forth. So they are going to give more exposition and even more reason why the believers should get entrenched in this book and so forth. So Revelation 1, the first verse. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear the record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So right there, I'm continuing with the reason why the believer must begin to understand these books and so forth and live in there. I want to give more information about that and so forth. From those two verses only, we show many, you know, we see many reasons why we must be acquainted. Oh, book of Job said, acquaint yourself with him. Amen.
Amen.
Acquaint yourself with the Lord, and he is the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Acquaint yourself with him and so forth. There, you know, and that we say, and receive the Lord out of his mouth and lay his words upon your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. This book is worthy of such discipline in our life. So let's see now, more reason. The book of Revelation unveils the future. Even from those two verses, you know, from those two that we just read now, it unveils the future and makes known the things which must shortly come to pass. See, that verse, shortly come to pass. As we are told that verse 1 of chapter 1, you know, to show his servant things which must shortly come to pass. Look at that word, must. Now, it's telling you the prophecy in this book of Revelation, they are unconditional prophecies. Amen.
Amen.
They must come to pass. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The rapture must come to pass. Amen.
Amen.
The Antichrist will surface. Amen.
Amen.
The temple must appear in Jerusalem. Amen.
Amen.
The Antichrist must show forth himself there and declare himself God there. Amen.
Amen.
It must happen. There will be a great tribulation of time like never before. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And there are something come to pass and so on. They must all come to pass. You can't pray them away and so forth. All the people can pray now as they go and escape. Amen. This great thing. Praise the Lord. And of course, many, many events that are coming, that the book narrated and so forth. There is coming the great tribulation, the great day of the Lord, and so forth in there. There will be the great millennium of time, 1,000 years and so forth. There will be some of the new heaven and the new earth coming and so forth. All these things and so on, they must come to pass. Praise the Lord. And in God's time clock, they are like milliseconds. So it may be like 1,000 years to God, to the Lord. You know, 1,000 years like 1 year, like 1 day to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
In God's time. So we don't want to count. It doesn't count as we count. So when it says it's near, it is near. Praise the Lord. So let us just take it like that and so forth. So let's see now. So what is a revelation really? So a revelation is to reveal something, not to conceal it, to make it manifest, and not to hide it. Amen. Called the book of Revelation, revealing events, praise the Lord, of all the counsel of God of the ages. Number two, more reason why we should seek this, read the Bible, and all this book of Revelation. The Lord anticipated that Satan would seek to discourage people from reading this vital message he has given to the church. Therefore, the Lord said this in the in verse 3. Therefore, the Lord promises a special blessing to all who read and keep the things written in this book. Amen? Book of Revelation. That's 1:3 of Revelation. So the Lord knew this thing and so on. He put a special blessing. One more reason why we must get acquainted with the book and so forth, like any other Christian and so forth. So in verse 3, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The book of Revelation is calling time. Amen?
Amen.
It's calling time. Praise the Lord. It's all about the calling of time. In 1 chapter 7, it says the time is coming when time shall be no more. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's calling time. That's why you must be alert and so forth in there. You must know what it's talking about. Time shall be no longer and so forth. Time no longer and so on. Saying that it's calling time all over the place and so forth. Now, one more reason. So the blessing and so forth, and one more reason why we must get acquainted with the book of Revelation and of course all scripture. So those who keep the word of God, that's a blessing. So now one thing I put here, if Revelation's message is incomprehensible, as many of the so much body of Christ we think, how many churches read the book of Revelation? How many? You can catch it on your fingertips. Amen. Praise the Lord. Only in the next tree and the next bride do they talk about these things, amen? See? And they know the significance of fortune, though. So the other people and so what do they think? They say, oh, it's incomprehensible. How can we, you know? So the question is right now. If it is incomprehensible, how can God say we should obey it? Amen? Praise the Lord. See? The fact that you are commanded to obey its injunctions means that the message can be understood. And providing, of course, as all the things of God. Bible says it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. Amen? It is the honor of king to search out a matter. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You must do your part. Amen?
Amen.
No, no. You have to do your part and so forth. You have to seek it out and so forth. Then the Lord, you know, to a Bible says to the hungry, you know, he filled with good things. Amen?
Amen?
And those things, if they are full, send them away hungry. Praise God.
Amen.
So that's another thing. Why we must so. Now, many Old Testament prophecies were sealed. So we're talking about why the importance of this book and so forth. In the Old Testament, many of them prophecies are sealed. They were sealed and reserved for later generations to understand. But this book of Revelation, the seals are opened. And we are specifically told to read and keep the things written therein, for the time is at hand. For example now, let's take one Old Testament prophet, you know, to show you how that some of them were sealed. Not to happen in their own time. Book of Daniel, for example. For example, to contrast between the two and so forth. So we see that in Daniel was specifically told that the prophecy given him were for the end time and not for his own generation. That is Daniel 12, 8 and 9. I want to get there quickly. So you want to know that? I want to read it. Daniel 12, 8 and 9. We are comparing now. See? No? Some of the prophecies they were just for a new generation of our own time, not for their time. And I heard. But I understood not. And I said, then said I, O Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Where are the time of the end? Your time and my time. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, but let's see now. Now, But the book of Revelation is different now. The book of Revelation was written to be understood. That they understood it not. But this book of Revelation was given to the church to understand. Praise the Lord. Well, some thought the book of Revelation is a book of just mysterious symbols. And so far removed from the sphere of the understanding of the average person, they think that it will be impossible for ordinary Bible readers to get any benefit out of it. What a lie of the devil, you know. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When you look closely, the rather, it is not a sealed book. After all, this book of Revelation is not a sealed book. Bible says so. Revelation 22 verse 10. So it's not a sealed book at all. It's given to the church to understand it. On that Daniel's day and so forth. So he said, and he said unto me, see not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. It's the calling of time. Amen. Don't seal it. Praise the Lord. But he didn't seal it. Now the Bible says here, he's just quoting him what he said in the air and so forth. Now, some reasons. Now, why the symbols and so on? Why the symbols? You know, so what are the reasons? Why God used symbols in the book of Revelation? Now, the book of Revelation uses symbols, like we said, which at first may be disconcerting to many people, just really closing and reading and praying about it and so forth to the reader. Yet, these symbols are not incomprehensible mysteries, for they are explained either in the context of the scripture that you are reading or somewhere else in the Bible. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I can give an example even the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. You know? 2 and 7 of Daniel. Of Daniel and so forth. And those two chapters, they were written in a special language called the Aramaic. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So why? They are talking about the same thing. Now, in Daniel 2, it's actually the Gentile kingdom. The last four of them as matters of decreasing superiority. Decreasing superiority, amen? From gold to silver, from silver to brass, iron, and so on like that, you know. So, but in Daniel 7, talking of the same four kingdoms as four ferocious beasts, amen? They were symbols, praise the Lord. But the Bible, if you look at it, then you have the four beasts are four kings, amen? Can you see the context now? They were symbols, but the Bible interprets itself, praise the Lord. Just an introduction tonight to see that. So even these symbols, either they are understood by the context or from other parts of the Bible. So you should not shun away the side of God from understanding them. Now, for the same reason, one more reason why they are speaking, why the book is written in symbols and giving different viewpoints, why the book is written in symbols and so forth. So the same reason that the Lord taught them in parables, amen? Praise the Lord. You know, when he taught them in Matthew 13, we are given different reasons why the Bible just put this book in symbols. They are all symbols, horses and so on, you know, all over the place and so forth. So in Matthew 13, it's one of the same reasons the Lord taught them in parables. Matthew 13 verse 10 says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? See? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Therefore, verse 13 says, therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Then verse 15, all those things the Lord was saying here, I shall prophesy of them, right there. And so, and for these people's heart it waxed gross, and their ears are full or dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand, you know, with their ears or with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So the same reason the Lord gave many of the teachings in parables, the same reason he used symbols in book of Daniel and book of Revelation. But there are more. Also, the Lord told us in Matthew 11:25, Bible says the mysteries of God are revealed to the humble, the reverent, and to the believing. Matthew 11:25 says, At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise, so called, the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. In one place, David said, and to them, such as we learn. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why we put them in symbols and so forth? Just go through the Bible. Now, one more reason why the Lord used the symbol book of Revelation is this. Very, very important. To save Christians from unnecessary persecution, you know, which they would have suffered had the book openly condemned political power, such as the Roman Empire. Amen? Praise the Lord. For example, today, the Apostate Church, Roman Catholic Church, the Apostate One, which has even forbidden the reading of the scriptures to many of its own people, is apparently unaware. That church does not know anything. I don't know if they know. Unaware of the judgment spoken against it, though it is declared in rather obvious terms in Revelation 17. Amen? Yeah, the Lord just hide it in there. Praise the Lord. Only the elect knows anything about it. Bless it to prevent unnecessary persecution to the saints. I don't know if they will repent. Everything in Revelation 17 describes them. I don't know how they can see it, you know, but see, the Lord just put that in the symbol now. Lastly, one reason why we should study the book of Revelation, or why it is written in symbol, is this. To veil the actual time of the second coming of Christ. Amen? To veil the actual time of the second coming of Christ. Even in the message of the 70 weeks of Daniel, had it not separated that 70th week from the other one, you can almost have predicted the day of the rapture. Amen? Praise the Lord. Then he used various time lengths. Just confuse the devil, amen? Praise the Lord. If you have a consecutive, and you could have always, because at the end of 6 and 9 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. Bible says, amen? So you could have almost, you know, predicted the day of the rapture. If you hadn't put different time lines and left in there. So why the Lord, you know, use symbol and so on? One of those reasons to say, I mean, to actually, to hide the day of the rapture and so on. Now, I want to just say, it's a great privilege to every one of us, you know, with these things in our mind, this part and so on, you know, that what a privilege you have today, that God has given us understanding of all these things and so forth, you know, that we will be doing and so on. And we can say this without any doubt, that this thing, it is indeed, this Bible, it's indeed the Revelation book, is indeed the open door to the future, amen? And to the understanding of events soon to come to pass. Some of them are already coming to pass, so it's an open door to the future, really. Bible says almost all futuristic. Of course, we know some of them are coming to pass. The church ages. We are in the last one, maybe at the end of it. We don't know where we are at India. We know we are at the transition time, amen? Out of the seven church ages, six have come to pass. We are in the seventh one, and we know when it's even over. Well, what we have, we are in the transition time, amen? The gospel going to the Jews, praise the Lord. So the church can go up anywhere. All the main prophets that we made are for the great tribulation of time, amen? Praise the Lord. We should be on our spiritual toes, and, you know, not just mere curiosity. You know, we are living in a very, 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 very serious hour, and so forth. So we see that. Now, one more thing I want to say, like a kind of an introduction, did the Lord give a hint when he was here that there come to pass the book of Revelation that we give to Brother John? Did he say it? Yeah, I think so. No, many Bible readers thought about that. Let's go to John 21. The Lord make a grand work for this thing and so forth. This book that is coming, the Lord even kind of spoke about it directly or indirectly, that this book will come to Brother John and so forth. Now, first of all, I will lay a background in John 21 here. You know that it's after the resurrection. And here is, he began with Brother Peter. He himself got a prophetic message from the Lord of his future work and how himself will finish his own ministry. Let's begin with that in John 21. You know that they went out fishing and all those things. Now, verse 18. Let's begin with Peter first. And the Lord said it. The Lord actually foretold how Peter would truly prove his love. At the end, would die a martyr's death. The Lord predicted it. Let's read in John 21. If you know how to read it. Verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou guardest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, the Lord said, in the future, thou shalt set forth thy hand, and another shall guard thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Many Bible scholars believe that the Lord is talking about Peter. He has told him before, feed my sheep 3 times. Do you love me, Peter? Simon, do you love me? Simon, do you love me? Feed my sheep and so forth. Then he told him this thing and so forth. Now, see, we know he's talking, and the Lord is saying that at the end of your time, there will be an executioner. Some will hold you and take you to the executioner that it will matter than sin, because it become a matter. Now, because in verse 19 of the same place, this take he, meaning the law, signifying by what death he should glorify God, that Peter should glorify God with. Amen? Mm-hmm. Talking about the end ministry of brother Peter and so forth, the end and so forth. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Peter, follow me. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So now, why I read that one? And when it came to pass, look towards the end, the Holy Ghost gave brother Peter something for the church. And he tell us, say, you know what? I am telling you the church, just to put you in remembrance, amen? And let's see now. So in 2 Peter 1, so that thing of the law, because we don't know what the Lord told him, except in that John 21, 2 Peter 1, 13. Brother Peter writing to the church by the Holy Ghost. Yea, I think it means, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right there, the Lord showed me all these things before ahead of time and so forth, you know. Anyway, now, by the way, that came to pass, you know, according to history, Brother Peter was crucified, and we know he requested that, you know what, you don't prefer me upright. I'm not worried to die like he died, amen? Crucify me upside down. The issue said, praise the Lord. And you even know what? Almost all the apostles went that way. They were crucified, they were martyred, that and so on, you know? Except one of them, which we're going to read now in the book of Revelation. So now let's go to verse 20 of, coming to Brother John now, whom the Lord gave this book of Revelation. That's where I'm going, really. So now, following what he told Brother Peter, then in verse 20 of John 21, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following him, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayed thee? No, he was saying that and so on. Peter, seeing him, said unto Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? He got his own commission, right, and so forth. Was asked by Brother John, what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me, Simon. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? So we see the idea. So now, and we know that as the Bible corrected the disciples, even the brethren were saying, oh, the Lord said that Peter will not, Brother John will not die and so on. But the Bible said that the Lord didn't say that and so on. And we know that as a matter of history, actually, Brother John died just before the turn of that first century, around about 98 AD towards the end of the century. Praise the Lord. And the thing is this, because this is just an introductory thing, the background and so on, how the book came and everything like that, you know. So, just for the grassroots and so on. Now, the thing is this. So, so we know that the disciples make a lot of mistakes about supposing that Brother John will not die and so on like that, you know. And, there is something. No. And they persisted. They were saying only despite what the Lord said, they were still persistent that Brother John will not die and so on. But we know this thing that, Brother John's grave, it's in Ephesus. And for many centuries afterward, they were showing them and so forth, to people and so on. So we know that one. So we know he did pass on and everything like that, So now, there's a peculiarity, about this words of the Lord Jesus concerning Brother John. And that is the point I want to make. So, Right? The people of this world, in the Christian community and so on, rather than be thinking that brother John didn't pass away and so on, he didn't die and so on, you know, they should be anticipating a special message that the Lord will give to brother John for the church. And that is what actually happened. So brother John was the last of the apostles, really, was the last of them. 30 years, you know, he lived 30 years longer than the other apostles. He was the only one that didn't die of martyrdom. Praise the Lord. But certain events occur around him too, you know, just to get to the book and so on. So he lived to witness the vision of the living Christ on the Isle of Patmos, where this book was given by the Lord Jesus. So it was the last of them, 30 years and so on, you know, before all of them have, you know, died and so on, martyred and so on. He was the only one, the last one and so forth. Now, I want to get to Revelation, so verse 9 of the book of Revelation. Like I said, tonight, just like in introduction, we just go in there in the future as the Lord is. We just lay a background and so forth for the time of Christ. How the Lord laid the background for this book coming and so forth. Verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the eye that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I always like that statement, in the patience of Jesus Christ. Amen. All over the scriptures, like never before in the history of the world, we need the law of patience right now. Amen. The Lord said, your patience possesses your souls. Amen. The husband man waited patiently for the precious fruit of the earth, and he had long patience for it until he received the former and the latter rain. Praise the Lord. So, yes, tribulation and so forth. Now, watch out now. Not the great tribulation now. Praise the Lord. The church doesn't go through that. Praise God. Unless they left behind. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, the Lord told us that in the world, you have tribulation. That's not the great tribulation. Amen. But we are good share. For I've overcome the world. Praise the Lord. So that's a good tribulation, that tribulation and so that we all face and so on. Now let's talk about the Isle of Patmos now. Where is the location? Bringing the Bible alive. These things are really alive, you know. My first time out of Nigeria was to the island called Malta. Amen. Where my company, I used to work for NCR. When they took me and go to Malta, I know that that's a thing in Bible called Melita. Amen. In the book of Acts, I had to look it up and so on. Praise the Lord. And everything that happened in Acts 27 was in there. When I got there, till today, there's a thing called St. Paul's Bay. Amen. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, the preaching and all that happened, where the snake beat him and so on, and shook it to the fire and so on. Till today, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we believe the word of God. Anyway, where is the island of Patmos located today? The Isle of Patmos is in the Mediterranean Sea, off the coast of Asia Minor. Where today we call it Turkey. Praise the Lord. That, yeah, it was located off of that coast of Turkey. It lies in direct westward line from the city of Ephesus. Patmos is a rocky and barren island, about 10 miles in length and divided into two parts by a deep inlet, you know, because of the sea and so forth in there. You know, now, and you know, in the time of John, it was used in those days like Alcatraz. Alcatraz, if you know Alcatraz in San Francisco, I was there, she was there one time when I went to be in San Francisco and so forth. So Alcatraz, so that place, that island was like the type of Alcatraz to the Roman Empire. What did they do with it? So, and you know, all the hard-hearted, you know, criminals, you know, that they had put in a jail. They took them to the Isle of Patmos. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's what it is. They can't put them in jail. Like maybe it's nothing compared. I mean, the Apayos sentence is nothing compared to it. Praise the Lord. So how criminal and so on, they put the child of God in there for what? You know. They put the prisoners in there, hardcore criminals. And they threw them there and so forth. And let me see what's here. So today, right now, in that island, it's still there. You know, there's a commanding hill in there. And there's a monastery in there. And they call it St. George Monastery. Monastery is a place where monks, you know, live, and they hold a kind of a religious vow. Praise the Lord. Not only that, that's a grotto in India. A grotto is like a cave, you know. And in that cave, they claim what we are, Brother John actually received those revelations, they claim, you know. And today, it's used for a kind of repository, you know, for all kind of ancient, you know, manuscripts. See, today, so it's India. So we know that one. So, the thing is this: what? So how did Brother John come there? What brought Brother John there? How did he come there? So it happened that in 95 AD, history bearing out, during the reign of that Roman Empire called Domitian, John was accused of being a witch. Now what they say? They accused of being a witch. And you know, and so forth, that, you know, and banish him to the Patmos Island and so forth, India. But we know God's word says that, why was he there? Bible says that for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, amen. That what brought him there, for Satan is a liar and father of lies. They call him a witch. In those days, they did that, so the Catholic Church did all kind of things. They accused his saints and so on of this kind of thing and so forth in there, you know. So that's why when they are, we don't know by the word of God, they put him there. Now, there was an historian in the early church. They call him Tertullian, you know, was a famous writer of the early church and so forth. He declared that Brother John had miraculously survived 24 hours of immersion into boiling oil. Tertullian, it's in history, you know. He said that Brother John, they immersed him in boiling oil for 24 hours. Nothing touched him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Exactly right. They haven't seen it like before. Amen? 24 hours. Boiling oil and so forth, you know. And so, nothing touching. So, what are we talking about? We are talking of the same God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen?
Amen.
The same Jehovah of the Old Testament.
Amen.
Is the Jesus of the New. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And we know, you know what happened there. They want to go there tonight, you know, and stuff like that, you know. And even in our time, if need be, in our time, during the Korean War, right here in America, during the Korean War, there was a man called Kent Cantrell. Praise God. He was a reverend and so forth. He was working the labor, you know, thing and so forth with the distressed ship and so forth. And one day, there was a, you know, they were in the catapult, you know, and so on that ship and so forth. There came a great explosion of octane oxygen and so forth, like blasted, and the whole catapult was engulfed in fire. This brother had been in the fast for 17 days. Amen? Fasting and seeking the Lord for 17 days. On the 17th day of the fast was when this thing happened. Amen? And according to the record, it's not only that, you know, according to the record, and the Lord told him to stay there. You know, the inferno, in fact, the door outside of that thing was red hot. It's Buddhist. There are 16 of them, that kind of 16 of them. It was the 16th one. Only him survived. Amen? And he said, according to his own words, you know, when this was happening, he was picking his own body, picking them up, their flesh was falling off their bones in his very arms, in our own time. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So God is not limited, and so forth. Like, if he allows you to get any situation, and you are holding to God's word, he will deliver us. Amen?
Amen.
Out of, you know, on the 16th day, of that thing, on the 16th day, 16, you know, 15 of them perished, idea. But God separated him. He was in the 17th day of the fast, and God separated him and so forth in India, and he was the only one who survived, you know, and that blazing inferno, and it's in record in history that this really happened. So, and like I said, we're going to stop here tonight because it's getting too late here. All this today, a foundation, the Isle of Patmos where it's located, why was Brother John there and so forth. But we know this, you know, at the end of 18 months, when he was there, one other emperor, his name was Nerva, Nerva, was the emperor at that time. So Brother John was released, and he went back home to Ephesus. That's why he was living, amen. And he pastored the church at Ephesus for the last time, and he wanted to be with the Lord, you know, about the end of that century, 98 AD and so forth in India. So we see why he went there for the word of God and so forth. So that's how we can take tonight. We don't know how often we go to the book of Revelation, but tonight is not to give all the little ones, especially, you know, the incentive to show the importance of the book of Revelation and so forth. The calling of time, God is calling time in there, the time is short and so on. The things which are shortly come to pass and so forth. And we should just keep our eye on the Lord. As far as the Lord leads us, we just go in there, make a shatter over here and a shatter over there. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight. Blessed be thy name, O Lord Jesus. Truly, unto us is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God to others in parables. We thank you for the great privilege. Yes, that same divine love that made you to choose us in you before the foundation of the world. See, shall God hide from Abraham that which he shall do? No, oh God, you didn't. Type of the bride. So we are very, very privileged and we are so thankful to you that you give us understanding of the times that we truly will make ourselves ready and not to be foolish, not to be like the foolish virgin, but to be wise in the Lord. So we thank you, Lord, and we just give you all the glory, all because you love us. According to your own way, your own purpose, did you save us? Not by our own power, not by our own might, Lord, but according to your own love towards us. So we thank you tonight. We give you glory and honor. We thank you, Father. So tonight, as we go tonight, Lord, oh God, this introductory, the book of Revelation, let you inspire us the more to study it more, and so the rest of the scriptures too, Lord, knowing the hour we are living in, Lord. And to the church universal, we know there are many of your people who know nothing about what we are talking about tonight, Lord. Lord, we pray for understanding. Make a way, Lord God, to all of the rest of the elect to have understanding of these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I will say, Lord, because by one spirit are we all baptized into one body in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for blessing us tonight. We glorify your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you for that. Patient brethren, keep it over time. So we will just get the